And the Peter B. Collins Show continues 6 minutes after five on the left coast. I'm not supposed to tell you what hour it was, and I just blew it. I'm Peter B. Collins.
I was walking over the highway. I saw above me and in the skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me. I won't be rambled and follow my footsteps.
The American Republic held a midterm election on Tuesday. And we know the outcome. We know the Democrats took control of the House and narrowly took control of the Senate. But based on the way the election was conducted and the manner in which so many glitches and voter suppression tactics and other means occurred that limited the right of people to exercise their vote, it's hard to say that this land is really your land. More appropriately, it belongs to the corporations, including one called Diebold. Brad Friedman joins us once again here for our weekly visit. And this one, it's time to take a look at the early forensics of the way the election was conducted this past Tuesday. Brad, of course, is the proprietor of bradblog.com, described by the New York Times as a left-leaning blog that covers election issues. Brad, welcome back to our show today.
How are you, my friend?
I'm getting better, getting a little more sleep every night and kind of getting used to what we think happened.
Yes, it's taken a little bit of the pressure off as we were all worried about what could have happened on Tuesday. Although I might argue that what we feared could have happened in many ways actually did happen, as we had absolute messes all over the country all day long on Tuesday, and certainly even now we've got some 10 races that are House races that are still undecided for various reasons. We dodged a few bullets in some of those Senate races, and we can go through some of those. But I have concerns. I don't want people to think, oh, geez, everything's fine now. Look, Democrats won, because it ain't fine, not by a long shot.
Well, and a number of candidates failed to take our advice, Brad, including some key Republicans, one named Conrad Burns and another named George Allen.
That's right.
Our advice was don't concede until every vote is counted.
That's right.
And while I wanted to see in the worst way Burns and Allen depart from the political scene, I also want results that are credible and a process that we can believe in. And I would be willing to wait even another week or two for the Virginia or Montana Senate races to be determined, pending a thorough and complete count of every vote cast.
You know, I would too, but I got distracted when you said Burns and Allen, and I thought of George and Gracie.
Maybe they're going to become a cable TV act. We'll see them on Fox very soon.
Well, they're both looking for jobs, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the Burns and Allen show, bring it back. Sounds good to me.
That's where the neocons go to, they don't quite die. They just kind of fade away and flap on.
I would tell you, yeah, I agree. They should not have conceded. And neither, by the way, should have Rick Santorum down in Pennsylvania. Those, his race, I don't know, what did it end up? Something like a 20-point difference in the reported results. But again, we reported that during our election night meltdown of Palooza Marathon, that Santorum and the Republican Party had sent a letter to the Secretary of the Commonwealth out there in Pennsylvania. You know, they're not a state.
That's right. Yeah.
And asking that machines, the voting machines, in 27 different counties be impounded after they received reports of votes flipping from Republicans to Democrats. Now, I haven't been able to confirm those reports myself, but I have. We were able, obviously, to confirm the letter that they sent to the secretary asking for these machines to be impounded. And guess what? I applaud that effort. I wish that Democrats had done exactly that in every instance when they had reports of votes flipping from Democrat to Republican, and perhaps we wouldn't have these damn machines at all at this point.
Well, and your hope was that they really would impound those machines and do a thorough examination of them, and that that would lead to a repudiation of their credibility, and hopefully we can scrap all the electronic voting machines. That's your ulterior goal, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's exactly right. Look, I believe every vote should be counted, no matter whose votes they are, even if they are, folks like the insidious democracy hater Bruce McPherson, the outgoing Secretary of State of California. He still has the right to have his votes counted. More importantly, the voters have the right to have their votes counted accurately and properly. So, you know, I'm going to support any candidate who, you know, says, look, this, what kind of world have we gotten into where, you know, these elections are essentially run for the media so they could, you know, I saw an ad on MSNBC the other day saying that we were the first to call the House race for the Democrats. What does that mean? You know, 3 minutes later, CNN did it as well. Who cares? You know, I think all of America has gotten to the point where we would rather have our elections accurate and, you know, called correctly than called early. And, you know, now we're seeing various problems cropping up all over the place, down in San Diego, once again.
Wait a minute. Is this Groundhog Day?
Yeah, it really is. It's deja vu all over again.
And we're going to have to deal with your good friend Michael Haas and... Oh, gosh. Well, let's delve into that. We got about 3 minutes till the first break here, Brad. What is the latest on Francine Busby and Brian Bilbray? This is the contest for the two-year term. The disputed election, the special in June, was simply to fill out this year the final portion of Duke Cunningham's term. And for whatever reasons, Bilbray got it sworn in before the results were certified. And despite the challenge that you and others led to that special election. So where are we in terms of the published count? And I know from your reporting that in San Diego County, Michael Haas was not planning to even start counting the absentees until yesterday.
Well, that's right. And it is deja vu all over again. VelvetRevolution.us and Paul Leto, the election attorney down there who brought the case some months ago over the summer election, funded an exit poll from Zogby to keep an eye on that election down there. You know, my good friend Michael Haas sent all of those voting machines home for 3 weeks prior to the election, Diebold touchscreen machines, on sleepovers once again. And we thought it was a good idea to keep an eye on that race. And, in fact, as the results are coming in now, reported by San Diego, there's a 10-point difference between Busby and Bilbray. However, the Zogby exit polls show that it should only be a 4-point difference based on the polling that we have, which actually puts the thing into the margin of error. And in fact, what we have found is that Democrats down there were far and away more likely to cast their votes on paper ballots if they were actually allowed to do so, if they were given, you know, the paper ballots down there.
Mm-hmm. And Haas was playing hide-and-seek with the paper ballots, right?
Oh, that's right. Wasn't telling anybody about them and encouraging poll workers to not tell people that they had the right to vote on paper. And, in fact, in many cases, I understand they ran out of paper ballots. To make matters even worse, when the Francine Busby herself went in there, she chose to vote on a paper ballot, and they tried to give her a provisional ballot instead of a regular normal paper ballot. Now, the Secretary of State said that those paper ballots are to be counted as normal ballots on election night, not provisional ballots, which, mm-hmm. as you know, are vetted and many of them are thrown out for various reasons if they're ever counted at all. Those those paper ballots then should have been counted on election night as normal ballots, as McPherson had ordered. But Haas defied that law, that ruling, and in fact, the votes were not, they didn't even begin to count them until Thursday. So Paul Leto expects to see that race tightening. It's just under 10% difference now. He expects to see a tightening as those paper ballots are finally counted, presuming they actually are. And so we'll see. But once again, you know, we've got inaccuracies and, frankly, no reason whatsoever to have confidence in any single reported race, the election results for any race across the entire People's Republic of San Diego.
Now, I'm afraid of the answer, but I got to ask this question.
Yeah.
Has Francine Busby conceded?
You'll be happy to know that she has announced she will not be conceding this time around until every vote is counted.
Say hallelujah, Francine! I'll give her a big hug for that next time I see her. Brad, you stand by. We'll continue in just a moment. If you'd like to talk with Brad Friedman, he's on this entire hour. We'd love to hear from you. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. You got information about sleepovers of voting machines? Bring it on. Here's the guy who needs to know about it. 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's give you the latest as you folks make your way home this evening. And CHP telling us that we do have a problem located in Santa Cruz. Southbound 1 before Morrissey crash has been cleared, but still slow approaching the area. Grass Fire in Gilroy. Looks like this would be Highway 25 at 101. And Fire Department is, in fact, on scene. getting word of a problem in Rio Del Mar, south on 1 at Freedom Boulevard, the crash in the right shoulder, two vehicles. Romas Canyon Road at 101, disabled vehicle, one of the vehicles blocking to tow truck en route. And quickly in Elkhorn, Paradise Road at San Miguel, two dump trucks and a pickup truck involved in the crash. Lanes still may be blocked there. This support brought to you by Robitussin. Robitussin with formulas for coughs, colds, and congestion and flu. No matter what you got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA AM 540.
This is how we do it. Yeah, there's a little yellow button on the back, and this is how we do it. You just press that, and then you can vote as many times as you want. Isn't that neat? Isn't electronic voting groovy, huh? I'm Peter B. Collins, along with my pal, Brad Friedman, from bradblog.com. And we'll go to the phones in just a minute if you'd like to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B. Brad, first up, I wanted to check the reporting of the major media organs, because I saw a story from the Washington Post today saying how great the election was and how there are really relatively few glitches and nobody's got anything to worry about.
Yeah, that's been the unfortunate coverage. I suppose we could have expected that. Now, if you look a little bit deeper, if you look at the local coverage all over the country, you will see enormous problems. Of course, we point that out at bradblog.com, and we run John Gideon's daily voting news every day, which lists just scores and scores of meltdowns around the country. So I wrote an article that was published today at Computer World about exactly that and the fact that we had a mess. We had a meltdown of an election on Tuesday, and the fact that the mainstream media is now running around saying, oh, some glitches, hiccups, snags, and snafus, but other than that, everything was just fine, is just remarkable to me. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, had it come down, and it did, in fact, you know, come down to the George Allen race in Virginia. Now, had Allen decided to contest that, had he decided not to concede and you know, called for a recount, there was just a few thousand votes between him and Webb, we would have had an all-out Florida 2000-style constitutional crisis on our hands. When it would be revealed to the American public that 80% of the machines in Virginia are touchscreen voting machines with not even a paper trail, much less a paper ballot. They're completely uncountable, and you can't have a recount with those machines. You can have a reprint at best.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would have led to an endless national nightmare of scientists doing forensic investigations on these machines to find out if they were accurate or not. Never mind, I suspect we would have found quite a bit of fraud that would have benefited Webb, not Allen. But never mind that. You know, had Allen chosen to contest that race, we would have had a full-blown meltdown on our hands. So how can the media then run out and say, oh, everything worked out very well?
And anecdotally, they do report some of the glitches. We've seen coverage of the real problems in Denver, where lines were 2 hours long. And the issue was not the voting machines themselves, but this new poll book system that was stored on a central server that crashed several times and was running sluggishly at other times.
Well, that was the problem in Denver, which caused, you know, hours-long lines of people who were not able to vote at all. You know, they tried to. 2-3 hours they stood online and finally said, I can't do it. I got to go to work.
Yeah.
But we've got, you know, thousands of voters around the country in, you know, in California, in Indiana, in Utah, in Florida, on and on the list goes of people who were turned away without being allowed to vote. If that's not a meltdown, I don't know what is. And it was, you know, because in almost every case, the machines were not working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you need for a meltdown? Apparently, you know, you need it to come down to a single seat, a single vote. I mean, down in Florida right now, this is one of the big stories, down in Sarasota, Florida, in the 13th district, you've got a fight between Buchanan and Jennings,
right,
to replace Catherine Harris's old House seat down there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 368-vote difference between the two of them, and as it turns out, some 18,000 1,000 votes have simply disappeared into the ether. It's something like a 30% undervote rate in several precincts that is completely unexplained, because in the race above it for governor, you had like a two percentage undervote rate.
Mm-hmm.
Below it for a hospital board rate race, you had 1.6% undervote, and yet 13% of the people who decided to go in and vote that day decided to not vote in this House race at all. It makes no sense.
Well, it's really close to Halloween, and you can imagine the ghost of Catherine Harris has a whole lot of power.
It scared people away from voting for anybody.
Yeah.
The problem is the absentee ballots for that same race, there was only like a 2% undervote rate. So why would 18,000 voters decide to not vote in that race? It makes no sense. It was, unfortunately, ES&S touchscreen voting machines, which mm-hmm. also have no paper trail. So how that's going to come out right now is anyone's guess. And keep in mind, again, had the House election been a little bit closer, had it come down to a single seat, we would have had a full-blown meltdown that even the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Associated Press would have seen as a meltdown. So I don't know what it takes. I guess my coverage of the story at Computer World, I quoted from the Andy Borowitz satirical story that I believe you shared with me originally about a killer Diebold voting machine that breaks loose from its moorings in Florida and goes on a rampage and kills 9 people. I guess that's what it would take before the mainstream media actually understood
the dimensions
of the story. Yeah.
Let's go to Greg in Sacramento. Welcome, Greg. You're on with Peter B. and Brad Friedman.
Well, I hope you won't give me a big black mark. I didn't know that you had Brad on tonight. I thought you were going to have open phones.
Well, what do you want to talk about? Go ahead, Greg. I've got a minute for you.
Well, I guess I can say, since you got Brad on, I can say, both of you, you're awesome, dude.
Oh, well, thank you.
For the work that you've been doing and probably the lack of sleep that you got this week, you still performed a national service to all of us. And what I was initially talking about, I guess I can tie it in, that when this Congress convenes, I would hope that, because I initially was going to call you about impeachment. Everybody's talking about it, but...
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first priority of this next Congress should be this issue, the voting machines, the integrity of voting, our rights to vote, and ensuring that that's going to happen, not just here.
Well, I agree with you, Greg. I'm tight for time, and what my fear is that Democrats are going to be so gratified by regaining control that they're going to say, oh, we don't need to worry about this anymore. And that kind of false sense of complacency is something we've got to fight and fight hard against. Thanks for your call today. More coming up with Brad Friedman. You can call us at 888-5-PETER-B here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot. Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start to kick off with for the season, the first weekend in November, with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreath.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
The Peter B. Collins Show originates in San Francisco. It's produced by Matt Renner, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. If you got HBO, you got to catch Bill Maher tonight. The H is supposed to be silent. He's going to out some more gay Republicans.
It's bigger. It's bigger.
We continue now with Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com. That's where you can go to get all the latest information on what happened with Tuesday's election. As we pointed out, the Washington Post and New York Times are kind of just trying to downplay the glitches that occurred. There are serious problems that remain. 8 to 10 House races are still undecided. And we know that thousands of votes have not been counted. And many of those votes, Brad, will never be counted. Is that right?
Well, that's right. Either they will never be counted or they simply cannot be counted because there's nothing to count in many of these cases. So, that's the fine mess we've gotten ourselves into at this point. And, I'll even hold your feet to the fire, Peter.
Okay.
They weren't glitches. They were failures.
All right.
Failures of the system, failures, you know, they... They knew long ago what they were going to be up against when they designed these systems. They were meant to be, you know, mission-critical systems.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the papers love to minimize them as glitches or hiccups or snafus. You know, this is because you've got a system that nobody oversees, that there are no standards for. We had DeForest Soares on the other night.
Yes, we did. He was very powerful.
Yeah, and, you know, he was the Bush-appointed head of the Elections Assistance Commission. And, you know, he says there are absolutely no standards for voting machines in this country and that our elections are ripe for stealing. And, you know, what he's talking about is the fact that no one at the federal level, at the state level, or anywhere else gets to actually test these machines. And essentially, the voters of the United States of America become the beta testers for a Diebold and ESNS during live elections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a failure. That's not a glitch or a hiccup. That is a failure of a system that simply does not care if voters actually get to exercise their franchise.
Brad, can you forgive me for my weak choice of words there?
As for you.
And Dave's on the line from Eureka. Sounds like he's out at the protest tonight. Hello, Dave.
Yes, again, my apologies in advance. I'm out in front of the courthouse.
Well, I appreciate your vigilance. It's the Veterans Day observed holiday, and it couldn't be more appropriate for you to be there with your protest signs.
Well, I think we're all in agreement that once again, well, the W and his company grossly misunderestimated the number of votes they were going to need to flip, and they won't make that mistake again if they get another shot at it. So I think, one, we got to start real hard and fast now to get rid of these machines. You guys have been doing wonderful. And I got one other question, too. Do you know, did Tony Trupiano concede because they didn't want him at all?
I don't know if he has conceded or not. I saw the tally published in the New York Times that he was down by about 12 points.
Yeah, but I bet if they count the paper, the absentee ballots, mm-hmm. He'll do a whole lot better.
I'll tell you what, over the weekend I'll see if I can check in with Trupiano and get an answer for you, Dave.
Yeah, he was one straight shooting, plain talking dude they did not want to have in the Congress.
Well, you're right about that.
That's for sure.
Thanks a lot for checking in today, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Now to Paula in Marina. Paula, thanks for calling. You're on with Peter B. and Brad Friedman.
Hi, guys. I'd like to thank you both for your leadership on all of these issues having to do with voting. And I want you to keep up the good work. There's a couple of things. One, I wanted to tell Brad about in the city of Marina at one of the polling places. They were giving people provisional ballots when they were asking for paper ballots.
Mm.
So people still need to be educated on that, the fact that they're not, you know, those are not counted votes. But the other thing I wanted to say is I really think that partly the Republican strategy and why Rick Santorum conceded so quickly is because they do not want the truth to come out about these machines. They don't want these things to be examined because they are afraid that these machines will go out the door and be scrapped and they won't be able to do a better job of screwing our votes around during the 2008 elections who do not let up.
Now, Paula, that's an interesting theory. The other one that occurred to me, and it's pure speculation, is that they were afraid that if you really open up the can of worms, we're going to see just how many worms are in there.
That's exactly it. And they hope that this will be given up at this point or will back off of this. And the truth is we all know if we don't have a vote in this country, we have absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. Brad?
So, anyway, that's it for me.
Okay, yeah. Paula, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for that call, Paula, and I agree with you. That's one of the reasons why I put out a quickie blog item on Wednesday, you know, calling on folks like Allen and Burns at that point to not concede their races. I called on, you know, Bruce McPherson to not concede his race, and I excoriated, you know, some folks who did concede their race, like Ford down in Tennessee, Santorum in Pennsylvania, and people wrote back, Brad, what the hell are you doing? What do you mean, you know, Santorum shouldn't concede? And these guys, you know, well, I knew what I was doing. I knew, you know, damn well that if those guys actually don't concede and fight for every vote to be counted and fight for those, you know, A, they're going to find out they can't count many of those votes because they're on machines. And secondly, they're going to find all kinds of problems, all those worms that you talk about with those machines, and I'm daring them to do it. I want to see them do it. I think, you know, if Bruce McPherson actually insists on every vote being counted in California in his race against Deborah Bowen, which, by the way, was the sweetest victory, I think, all night on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
If he does that, A, he's going to find out what a crappy system he put in place, and B, I bet he's going to find out that he lost by a whole hell of a lot more votes than he thinks he did.
Brett, let me pass along one item to our listeners that I forwarded to you yesterday. This came in an email from a listener, Sue or Susan, and she was a poll watcher in Marina, where Paula just called from. That's on the Central Coast near Monterey, if you're not familiar with the area. And she said, poll workers there told me the machines at the polling station were delivered a couple of days earlier and had been at the polling station ever since. Now, this is interesting because this particular polling place is a private residence. And so the poll workers and the people who own the polling place are the same individuals. And the day after the election, or actually on Thursday, she called the acting registrar of voters in Monterey County, the person who replaced Tony Enchundo.
What happened to the original one?
Well, he had some credit card problems.
Oh, I see.
And he said, trust me, if you remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, the new guy is Claudio Valenzuela. He took Sue's call, remembered her from a pre-election meeting. And at that meeting, she had asked him about the chain of custody on the machines, and he had given her a kind of glib answer. And he acknowledged that his answer was inappropriate when she repeated it to him over the phone. Then she went on to say about the polling station there in Marina, and she asked about how the voting machines get to the polling station. And Mr. Valenzuela told her that they're delivered by a private contractor. And he said the company is supposed to check to make sure that the drivers, you know, are on the up and up and not on the DL. And Claudio then said, well, I suppose that they conduct a background check on these people, but it's a third-party contractor, and it's kind of clear that Claudio didn't have a clue as to who these drivers were and whether they could be trusted. Then he said, well, you don't need to worry because there's a tape on the a seal on the machines, and it's checked by the poll workers before the polls open, and it changes color if it's been removed. So it's kind of a high-tech seal. And then she tried to find out where it's actually located on the machine, but he was kind of fuzzy on that. And the other input that we got was from Kashawa, the little town with a general store just inland from Carmel Valley, where they had their machine delivered on the Thursday before the election.
Yeah, you know, and those are two tiny incidents. Of which I've seen thousands of similar reports across the country. I mean, it is literally a tsunami out there of trouble and unsecured voting systems and failures. It's really just, you know, as I've said to a lot of these folks who are thrilled that the Democrats took over the House with a gain of about 30 seats so far, how do we know that they wouldn't have otherwise gained 40 seats? And, you know, so I hope when the Democrats take power and folks like Deborah Bowen, you know, get in there, they understand that the system needs to be repaired from top to bottom because there is no telling how much they still were actually hurt in this election through incidents like the ones that you point out. I mean, those mm-hmm. happened all across California, all across the country. And, you know, it's difficult at times. I know when you and I were doing the radio show the other night, you know, dealing with so many incidents from all over the country. Let me just take a moment. I know you got to go to a break shortly, but let me just take a moment to point out that I think that the results that did come in were due in no small part due to efforts of election integrity folks around the country who were vigilant. You know, you'll recall the other night we were getting reports that where they had kept the polls open, I think it was in Utah, if I recall, or Indiana, they were calling on folks to show up with chairs and food and water for the people who were stuck online. I mean, these guys were the heroes. These guys all around the country, the citizen patriots who spoke up, who did something, who took action, who organized, who were there on election night, who were videoing the vote, you know, these guys are the heroes that saved our country, as far as I'm concerned. And that goes down to people like Paula and the folks who sent you those emails saying, hey, this is what I heard, this is what I did about it, this is what I called my registrar and asked them about. These are the guys who are really making the difference, and that's why I think we had even the results that did come out on Tuesday.
Well, and here's a great column that was published by Bob Fitrakis and Harvey Wasserman, our colleagues in Columbus, Ohio, who've been on the front lines of the voter integrity movement, election integrity movement. And they wrote a piece you can read at freepress.org. That the well-oiled, well-funded Rove Bush theft machine lost control of the U.S. House with the Senate as close as it is, this was written before they knew the outcome, says just one thing. Somebody was watching. In 2006, that would be thousands of volunteer grassroots activists who left no stone unturned to expose rigged voting machines, Jim Crow registration roadblocks, trashed provisional ballots, manipulated absentee voting processes, and much, much more. And I thank all of you who have worked so hard and been so vigilant, because really it would have been worse. We know that. And I take Greg Palast at his estimation that at least 4 million votes were suppressed or otherwise not counted in this important midterm election. And as the Democrats celebrate their victory, consider it could have been greater if they had been more vigilant and worked harder to clean up our electoral process. Brad, we're going to take a break and return. We got callers on the line. We'll get to you, so stay there at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one choice for wealth building and real estate investment, we'll have companies that we think are going to be very hot in 2007. If you want to learn about investing in commercial properties, new real estate funds, and other exciting real estate markets, this is the show for you. For more information on how to be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Or check us out on the web at rockrollinrealestate.com. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Asalit of Claudie's Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie's Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie's Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Asalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's give you the very latest. And, folks, not a whole lot going on, to be quite honest with you. That's our last report. I'm going to tell you that we do have one problem. Let's see. This is in Gilroy, southbound 101 at Monterey Street. Fender bender. It's on the right shoulder. A pickup truck and a car involved in this. So I'm taking a look at Gilroy or Santa Cruz Mountains. No stalls or accidents to report on Highway 17. Getting reports of a problem in Morgan Hill that will pass along. It is southbound 101 after Cochran, a two-vehicle crash in the center divide. An advisory for folks in Watsonville, nighttime roadwork, Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom this evening. And it looks like Caltrans will have one lane closed in each direction from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. for, looks like, 15-minute delays. So the project is expected to be finished in late November. And I'm going to let you know this report is brought to you by Toyota.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, Friday night at the radio with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And look what we've done, Brad. We've got a switchboard loaded with callers and just a few minutes remaining. So, callers, if I can ask you to offer brief questions or comments, we'll try to squeeze in as many as possible because Brad's probably willing to go till midnight tonight, but...
Not you, huh?
Not I. Ben and Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I'd like to offer my analysis for your comment. We're in a battle. Okay, we have to be careful not to get caught up in our own euphoria. Now is not the time to drop the guard, but to double the guard. We got to stop the bleeding and heal as best we can, and then you get on with the business of accountability. These Republicans are cannibals. They have no problem cannibalizing our troops. They have no problem cannibalizing the Treasury as long as it winds up in their stomachs. But they have been wounded. A wounded animal will kill you. Wounded animals are very dangerous. So let's be careful, because remember, as far as the upcoming issues of accountability, it takes two-thirds of the Senate to override a veto. We don't have the votes there. It takes two-thirds of the Congress to remove for impeachment. Do we have the numbers there? This is where it might go. It's not time to cut the guard, but to double the guard. We still must remain vigilant because the stakes are too high.
Ben, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I'm going to these move-on celebration parties this weekend, and my goal is to spread the word in a really nice way. Do not relax. Don't get drunk tonight and figure that everything is fixed and you can just go back to your bacchanalian ways.
Amen, brother.
But we must remain vigilant, and I agree with you. We got to keep the armor on. And when Republicans attack, we've got to push back and simply compromise and accept.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ben. Good to hear from you today. John in Carmel Valley, you're next with Peter B. and Brad.
Two questions for Brad. Bruce McPherson used to be known in Santa Cruz County, one of the most liberal counties, if not the most liberal county in the state, as a man of integrity and not that right-wing at all, a Republican. What happened to him as Secretary of State? And then the other question is there a system that Brad knows of right now in existence that he would like to see adapted, or is it adaptable, just waiting to be adapted, that would fix the problem that is both quick in counting and very verifiable?
All right. First question about McPherson, Brett.
If I see one more report about what a moderate, middle-of-the-road Republican Bruce McPherson is after this filthy, dirty campaign he ran against Deborah Bowen, where he used every Karl Rove trick in the playbook, you know, I'm going to strangle someone. He was everything but moderate, middle of the road, and gentlemanly. He was as far right as Rick Santorum and Karl Rove and everybody else in the way he ran that campaign. That said, as far as voting systems, there is a system good to go. It's called a piece of paper and a pencil. That'll work. Beyond that, if you want something quicker, you can probably optically scan those ballots. Yes, if the machines are completely publicly open-sourced, tested by anyone who wants to look at them, and the ballots are actually audited with a proper audit protocol that gives you a scientific certainty that the results reported by those machines are, in fact, the correct results. You have to do that because, as we've seen, and we just got another report about 9 different races that were overturned in Arkansas, where the ESNS optical scan machines miscounted the paper ballots. Good news was they had paper ballots to go back and count from.
John, thank you for the call. Let's go to Susan in Santa Cruz. Hi, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys?
Doing better.
Hey, Susan.
Good. Me too. I was a poll watcher. I saw some funny things, but one of the things, I got in trouble right away. I got my wings clipped because somebody came in and they right away went to write the provisional ballot with him, and I watched the process. So I walked outside because you can't say anything inside, and I just talked to him and I said, why don't you take a look for your polling place, because I hear provisional ballots don't always get counted. And so somebody overheard me, I guess. And they actually had the inspector talk to me, and she actually called headquarters and had me straightened out by somebody.
Whoa, somebody. A higher power.
Yeah, and so I had a conversation with this woman, and I was told that the vote in Santa Cruz would not be certified until all votes were counted, including the Wemahoo provisional ballot.
Yes.
And it could take 30 days, but everything would be counted and not certified until that happened. So I'm wondering about that. That's one. Two, a funny thing happened just before the end of it. This fellow was opening up the thing because it wasn't feeding right, the optical scanner, and he didn't realize it wasn't hinged. So the whole thing went on the floor.
Oh, gosh.
It just went right off the table. It should have been hinged. All right. So then when it came up, it wouldn't feed. So we it wouldn't feed at all, and I noticed that the plates where it fed into were crooked. So somebody noticed exactly the same time I did, so we both put our hands on it, got it straight, and it fed, but then it wouldn't go in the right hole. Meanwhile, they called headquarters, and this roving tech came, and she put it back together, and it turned out the whole thing was reversed from the way it was supposed to be in the first place, which meant it had less balance. Because it had to be, so she turned it around, and then it all looked right. So I just thought that whole thing was real interesting as a little episode.
Well, and it just shows
that
good citizens who come to work at a poll on election day really aren't trained or capable of dealing with the problems that come up with these machines. I almost said glitches, but I know I'd get slapped for that. Thank you, Susan. Randall in Tempe, you're next, and thanks for holding.
Hey, Peter B. Hi, Brad. I'll make it quick, just a few quick points. We finished our hand count audit of 2% of the precinct ballots and 1% of the vote-by-mail ballots here in Maricopa County, Greater Phoenix, Arizona. We are going to be in the legislature this year because people are going to try to water down our hand count audit law, and we're going to have to protect it. The Democratic Party is run by precinct committee persons. Everyone that can hear me talking right now has got to go to their Democratic meetings and become a precinct committee person because we are the ones who elect the members of the Democratic National Committee. Now, Dr. Dean says they're going to get serious about election integrity. We have to hold them to it. Everyone who we just elected to Congress and the legislatures is going to take electoral integrity seriously, or they are going to be one-termers, and we are going to insist on it because we're going to run people against them next election that they don't take this seriously. And we're going to hope that Deborah Bowen in the great laboratory of California, which comes up with our cars and everything else that we need long before we get them, is going to design a system that is foolproof and transparent and that we can use. It'll be a model for across the country. And we're going to have to insist that the Rush-Holt bill, I don't know what you guys think about that, but something like that starts its way through Congress this year.
All right, Randall, thanks. We're tight for time. Let's let Brad wrap up here, and maybe he'll touch on some of your points. About 40 seconds, Brad.
Yeah, real quickly, I've got some concerns about that Rush-Holt bill. Perhaps we can talk about it a little bit more next week because it is now going to be coming up for a vote, I think. As far as what you're doing out there, keep at it, and thanks for encouraging folks to do that. You actually have a pretty good head of the Democratic Party out there, David Wade. And finally, a note for Susan, the poll watcher. It's a really thankless job to have done that, so let me be the one to thank her for having done that and everyone else who's paying attention to this stuff.
All right. Well, Brad, take a long weekend.
I think I will.
Enjoy it.
I'm going to try.
Let's meet again next Friday. I'll talk to you then.
I'll see you there.
In the meantime, go to bradblog.com. Get the latest information. I'm Peter B. Collins. It's been a long week. We all deserve a great weekend. Soak it up. Enjoy it. Join me again Monday, same time, same stations, here for the Peter B. Collins Show.
Keep smiling until then.
Bye-bye, Rummy.
Who cares about the clouds?